Right. Every once in a while, you run into a young person with just a passion to affect his generation. You just recognize the grace of God on a person that is really powerful. And we've been blessed to have a young couple connect with us here at Living Waters Church. Pastor Billy Ribka came here first as a part of an Elam Bible Institute ministry team, and we just recognized right away the grace on him to connect with young people. And so he's just been doing a phenomenal job, and I want to ask you to give him a welcome that'll just out of confidence that he's going to preach the best message you've ever heard in your life today. Let's welcome Pastor Billy Ribka, our youth pastor.
Way to start it off with an awkward side hug. So that's the first time I've had an introduction. So that's one for the fridge. Keep that on the history books. So now that I have a mic and I can kind of lead the service, I'd like to say first, youth group is tonight. I forgot to send out a text message as I was preparing this message. And Kevin decided to remind me. Like, hey, do we have youth group tonight? And I'm like, oh yeah, we have youth group tonight. I prepared for it, I did everything, but I didn't tell anybody about it. I didn't even tell my team, besides Jess, because she lives with me, so marriage. So yes, good morning. Hi. So who here enjoys the crazy weather that we've had? Like waking up this morning and we had winter. But then like 2 days ago, we had summer. And then somewhere in between, we had like fall, and it's just been a really awkward time. So I was pretty disappointed walking outside, looking and being like, wow, now I have to like wipe off my car. That's not fun. So this message, if I were to give it a name, would be called Battle of Our for Our Minds. This is literally one of the most important messages, not the most, but one of the most important messages we can know as Christians. We need to know this stuff. When I became a Christian 4.5 years ago, no one taught me that I needed to control thoughts that were in my mind. No one told me that I actually had to care. It was just kind of one of those things that were assumed that like, hey, you're a Christian, you have to watch what you say, you have to watch what you think, but no one actually taught me how to. And it's funny because this week as I was preparing this message, I once again had to literally practice what I'm about to preach. It's funny how it happens like that. This whole week, I was just bombarded with like anxieties and worries, like, oh, am I a good husband or am I a good youth pastor? Am I doing it right? Am I a good provider? And like for 2 days straight, I was just worried. I was anxious. It was like there was just a heavy weight on my chest. You know those weights when it's just like a 45-pound weight just on your chest, and it's heavy, hard to breathe, and it's not fun to do anything, and all you do is just turn thoughts over in your mind once again and again and again, and it keeps getting worse. That's what I was in. Now, as I'm sitting here, this week, and I'm talking to Jess, I'm just telling her all these things that I'm thinking about, all these thoughts, these negative thoughts, and I'm just telling her, and I just, one moment, I just realized, as I'm saying this, I'm like, these thoughts are not from me. These thoughts are not from God. So these thoughts are from the enemy. And we all know that the enemy is sent to, he sends thoughts to like destroy us, to undermine us, to just mess with us, because it will literally just put us on this place where we're not confident in what we're doing. We're actually just worried. It'll lock us down. It'll render us useless. So in one moment, I just, as she's just listening and talking and stuff, I'm just in my mind, I'm like, Lord, these thoughts are not from me. These are not from me. So I give them to you, Lord. I hand them over to you. I surrender them before you because I can't, like, destroy these thoughts myself, but you can. And in one moment, they were gone. It was like that weight just been lifted. Like someone just picked that weight up and it was gone. And then I could think clearly now. For 2 days, I was struggling like this. Then I was fine. And it's so weird to me that that's a thing. Most of my life, as I said, I had not put any thought into thinking about what I was thinking. Thinking about the thoughts that I thought. I never put any attention on that. I grew up in a non-Christian family. My whole family is not Christian. I'm the only Christian in my family. So I just wasn't taught to do this. Until 4.5 years ago. And then there was an emphasis put on this. So I struggled with a lot of stuff. I struggled with anxieties. I struggled with lust. I struggled with greed. You know, just the stuff that you would have coming out of the world. But I realized this. Like, hey, I probably shouldn't have these thoughts. These are like bad thoughts. And they're not godly. So I told my friend, I'm like, hey, how do I get rid of these? He's more experienced Christian. I'm like, hey, how do I get rid of these thoughts? What do I do? How do I control these? And he says one word, actually. He says surrender. Now, some of you are saying, like, you know, this is great. Like, that's awesome wisdom and advice. And it is. But I was a new Christian. So he just threw this Christianese term at me and says surrender. And I'm like, I look at him sideways and I'm just thinking, what do you mean? Surrender. What am I going to surrender to? Like, he didn't even say surrender to the Lord. He just said surrender. So I'm like, I mean, he could have at least said to the Lord, like, I mean, help a brother out here. Like, I don't know. I'm new. I was new at this thing. But he just said surrender. And then he didn't tell me how to do it. And then he didn't just go in on it. He just said surrender. And I realized that, hey, I'm not going to figure this out from this guy. So I tried to figure it out, right? And over time, there was people who just gave verses and gave little messages that, you know, kind of helped, but like not really. Until, like, I just talked to a random guy 9 months ago. I knew him from something, from a group I went to, and he just taught me how to surrender. This guy is not even like Christian like us, right? He is, but he isn't. He's from a Roman Catholic background. Now, I'm from a Roman Catholic family and I have opinions, but that doesn't matter about that. But he literally taught me something about surrender. He gave me a toolbox and said, this is how you surrender. And he showed me and he modeled it and he walked with me. And that's why I'm here today, is I'm going to give you that same toolbox. I'm going to show and I'm going to share with you guys these tools, the things that he has given me. These will literally change the way you surrender. Now, I say that with confidence because I've seen it happen, not only with like 5 or 6 people, but with thousands of people. Now, I haven't had an opportunity to share this with thousands of people, but he has, and other people he knows has. This message has changed people's lives. So, the hope for this message is that by surrendering, you will be able to be free from the thoughts that plague you. Because everybody, I think it's safe to assume that at one point in everybody's lives here, we have had thoughts in our minds that we really don't want. We don't want them there, but they're there. And they're annoying. But it seems like every time they show up, you like have this powerlessness over yourself where you just lose yourself for a minute. With some people, it's anger. You get upset and you tend to like hurt the person next to you. Not physically, but verbally. You just tend to hurt them. And you don't mean to. It's just a bit of rage. Or you get anxious and you bore yourself into high blood pressure. And that's not cool. Doctors don't like that. Or you got lust problems. And guess what? You did something you regret. I say these things because these are real issues that everybody here deals with. I know that some of these topics people don't like to talk about, but the reality is we have to. We need to learn how to deal with these things. So, I want to share with you this. And this message, it's not theory. It's not a theory, it's practical. So please, write down notes. I see you over there writing down notes. I know there's a lady here that has like a ton of pens in her purse, so like just pass them out. Or like write them on your phone. Like I know because I've asked her. Like I used to forget pens to write down my offering amounts, and he has pens. So I want you to turn with me in your Bibles or on your phones. I understand that we have Bibles on our phones, to 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Now I want you to hold up your Bibles with the verse open. With the verse. I'm not gonna start until I see like a fair amount of Bibles open. So I'm stubborn. It's happening. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Yeah, she's got it. Look at that. Good? All right. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine powers to demolish strongholds. We demolish every argument, every petition that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And this is the verse. This is the verse right here. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, when I first read that passage, that's the verse that stood out to me. That's the verse that was like, whoa, I can do that? How do I take captive every thought? That's a real thing? Then I was just blown away by it. But here's the thing. It's not just, you know, something the Bible randomly says. It's something that we can actually do. Because we can do this because we have the power of God in us. It's because of who we know that we can do this. Because of Christ that we can literally lay down these thoughts, realize these thoughts, and give it to him. We're going higher. Like, we can't fight this stuff, so we give it to him. And the cool thing is, actually, just a random thought. The cool thing is that thoughts that were sent by the enemy to wreak havoc on your life, to destroy you ultimately, to change the way you think, those thoughts, when you submit them to Christ, they ultimately obey Christ now. It just turns it over, turns it right on its head. But know this, is even this verse right here, talking about weapons, it's talking about warfare. There's a war going on. And it is a war for our minds. It is a battle for our minds. Now, when I think of battles, I think of, like, you know, people getting shot and stabbed and blown up and just mayhem and destruction. And quite honestly, in this room, it doesn't look like that. You know, it's a little warm. Nice, though. Kind of chill. But do not be mistaken. There is a war going on right now that you and I can't see, but we're a part of. The enemy wants to control our minds with these thoughts. He wants to shape the way we think. But we're not going to let him. Because who controls your thoughts controls your mind, controls you. You don't want the enemy to shape the way you think. We want God to. And that's why this message is so important. Whatever controls our minds controls us. So I've come up with three ways that is going to help surrender thoughts to the Lord. And that if you do these things from a day-to-day basis, it'll change the way you live. It'll change the way that you operate in your life. It'll change the way that you struggle, because all of a sudden it'll be like, oh, this thought's there? Okay, God, take it. And you can do that. We can do that. We have that power. We have that ability. We can because of Him. So, number one, right? I'm saying write this down. Because one day, when you're struggling with something, you're like, what did he say? I want you to write it. Realize the toxic thoughts. Before we actually start surrendering, we kind of need to know what thoughts we're gonna surrender. It's kind of like the important part. Now, you might ask, how do we do that? Through prayer, through conviction, and through logic. Through prayer, God could be like, hey, you know that thing you were doing? No bueno. We're not doing that anymore. And you just have to be like, okay, now I have to start surrendering when that desire comes or when that worry comes. Through conviction, God could literally be like, hey, you did that? That's not good. And you'll just feel like that like weight on your chest, not like a bad one. The Lord's just, it's not for you. Or through logic. It doesn't take a revelation from God to realize some things. Like, logically, I shouldn't walk up to Pastor Jack and punch him in the face. Logically. Like, it doesn't take God's revelation to realize that I shouldn't do that. First of all, he's a nice guy. Second of all, he's my boss. Third of all, I'm pretty sure God's not going to like that. So, I shouldn't do that. Love you, Pastor Jack. You're a great guy. Thanks for letting me beat up on you a little. So, that's the first one. We have to realize our toxic thoughts. We all have them. The second and one of the most important ones is to aggressively war against the enemy's lies by quickly surrendering our thoughts to God. Once again, I know it's up there. Aggressively war against the enemy's lies by quickly surrendering our thoughts to God. This is the most profound thing. If you really think about it, we need to quickly and aggressively surrender, because the enemy sent these lies to us to destroy us, to hurt us, to harm people around us. So if we're not recognizing these thoughts and doing something about them quickly, then you're just waiting to get hurt. You're waiting for these things to overtake you. We have to aggressively go after these thoughts. This is war. This is war. And these thoughts that the enemy sends will bind you. They will hold you down. They will be anchors to you. They will be chains. And we need to recognize that. Like I said, through prayer, through conviction, through logic, we need to recognize that. And surrender. And give it to God. Be like, Lord, I can't handle this. Lord, I'm just dealing with anger. God, I want to just, you know, Pastor Jack got me mad. You know, like, Lord, surrender my anger to you, because you can ultimately do something that I can. Love you, Pastor Jack. No, I promise. They're not deep-rooted. But there's a lot of thoughts that appear good, right? We have thoughts, not that one, but there's thoughts that, like, appear good. It's like, well, that's not bad thing. But the problem is if you let them in, it's like a Trojan horse. All of a sudden it's inside. You know, you let the thought into your mind. You're entertaining it, and all of a sudden it just breeds more ungodly thoughts, lies, deceit. Start thinking wrong things. So we need to be aware of what we're letting in our minds. And we all have a powerlessness. Now, I know that Christians don't like to accept that. Humans have a powerlessness. Like I said earlier, we have those thoughts that every time it shows up, we just tend to give in. We don't want to, but we do. We try to fight it, but it still somehow overtakes us. But that's why submitting our thoughts to God, that's why it is the most important thing, is because in the moment when you're weak, when you're powerless over these thoughts, He's strong. God is strong over the thoughts that you tend to be powerless over. And there's freedom in surrender. There's freedom in surrender. 9 months ago, I figured it out. And my life is so different. My life is literally different. 9 months ago, I was different. I had a lot more struggles. And I'm not saying I don't struggle, because that's not what I'm saying here. I do struggle, but I know what to do when I struggle. And that's what I'm giving you guys. That's what you have here, is you're learning how to struggle, or when you struggle, you're learning what to do when you struggle. Now, if these thoughts are not taken care of, they could actually lead to death. Now, actual death. Because what if thoughts of suicide pop up? Thoughts of your self-worth. If you don't realize what's going on, they could actually kill. These thoughts are meant to kill. We all know someone who's struggled with this before. Maybe we've struggled with it. I know I've struggled. And I'll be vulnerable. I'll be honest with you, because that's where I came from. But it's not where I am now. The ungodly thoughts that are in your life right now, if we don't deal with them, they will only get worse. They don't get better. You don't just assume that it's going to get better. That's what I did, actually. I assumed that my problems would get better, you know, when I became a Christian. I'm like, no, I'm a Christian. Like, they're going to get better over time. My nature's going to change, you know, that whole thing. But I didn't do anything to fight them. I didn't do anything to change the way I thought. I just kind of let it. And, you know, oh, Lord, forgive me when it happened. But when stuff happens, it just got worse and worse and worse and worse. And I became angry and agitated and irrational and emotional. And no one likes an emotional and irrational Billy. No one does. No one does. It's not good. So, now that I've said that, right, we need to surrender our thoughts to God. But now that I've said that, you may be saying, like, okay, Billy, I have sought out the toxic thoughts. I know what the toxic thoughts are. I've surrendered it to God, and I've done it over and over and over again. And I just want to make a note. Surrender is not a one-time thing. It's not a one-time thing. It is a lifestyle. It is a way that you live. There are so many times where, like, I'm just hit by thoughts, and I'm like, Lord, I need your help. I almost feel insane sometimes, because you just ask for help and you surrender them to Him. But that is the key, is surrendering the thoughts. But it's also realizing that one time isn't going to do it some of the times. It's a way that you live. So, you may be thinking, like I said, good and all, you've learned, you saw the thoughts, surrendered them. You've done it a bunch of times. Surrendered like an insane person. You know, Lord help. But you're still struggling. What do you do? Billy, your message has failed. It's flopped. It actually isn't practical. I'm sorry. No. Here's the third point, and it's one of the things that we don't do. And I don't think enough importance is put on it, that we let someone else in. The enemy wants us to keep our thoughts to ourselves. He wants our personal lives. He wants it to be like, no, that's a personal thought. You don't share that with anybody. That's a shameful thought. You do not share that with anybody because they're going to judge you. They're going to think you're bad. You think you're bad because you thought that thought. Don't tell anybody. When in fact, the thing that will actually rid you of that thought is telling somebody. Surrendering to God, then telling somebody about it. Because, as Sandy just said, accountability. People, we are supposed to walk together. Church, we're a body. We're a body, and we need to walk this thing out together. Now, I know men, we don't like to share emotions. We don't like to share stuff like that. There's like a stigma around it, where it's like, don't do that because it shows that you're not a man. The reality is vulnerability, being open with people, shows you're a man. You like that, don't you? But we need to be open with ourselves. We need to be open with people. We're never meant to do this alone. And the enemy wants to convince us that we're supposed to do this alone. That we're supposed to struggle by ourselves. And I don't care what you've done. I've heard some crazy stuff. I've done some crazy stuff. There is grace. Now, I'm not saying that you walk up to somebody and you're like, hey, I struggle with anger, or I struggle with anxiety or suicidal thoughts. I'm not saying you just walk up to a random person, because that would be kind of dumb. There's a certain person in your life that you know. I don't know who it is. Everybody has a different person, but the one that you're close to, that you can share things with, that's the person that you talk to, or that you seek out someone who you could get wise counsel from. There are so many times where I've sought out wise counsel, like, oh, I struggle with this. And it changes things. It lets someone else in what you're going through. It's even biblical, actually, to share our problems with people. Galatians 6:2 says to bear each other's burdens, or bear each other's burdens. And it fulfills the law of Christ. This is biblical. We need to do this for one another. We're a body. We're not meant to do this alone. If you're an arm, you're not meant to just like operate on your own. You're meant to be part of a body. You're meant to do this. We're meant to do this together. As Christians, one of the most important things we can do is to learn and to teach others how to guard, strengthen, and to renew our minds. Yes. As Christians, one of the most important things that we need to do is to learn and to teach others how to guard, strengthen, and renew our minds. Because the battle for sin, it starts in our minds. It's always a thought, and then it turns into an action. So we need to attack it where it begins. We need to bring the battle there. It doesn't start with your action, it starts with your mind. So, Lori, I don't know if she's here. Be here. Hi, Lori. Could you please come up and play? Man, she's got awesome ears. I just heard way out there. So, I want you guys to take a few minutes. I'm not going to ask you to expose yourself to someone in this room, although that would be kind of, I mean, not expose, but it'd be kind of cool to share. I know. I told my wife that. I'm like, Jess, there, I need to just be aware. Yes. Think about what you're going to say to me. But I want you guys to take a few minutes. I want you to examine your thoughts. Some of you will know what the Lord is illuminating. He knows that something, like, you just have to deal with something. You have to surrender something. I want you to pray about this. And then take some time and figure it out and begin to surrender that thought to the Lord. It may start here, but it's not going to stop. Don't let it stop here. And then I'll come up and pray for you guys after. That you are a good Father, and that you take care of us, Father, and that you don't leave us the same way that you found us. We thank you that you work in us, and you work through us, God, and you're changing us, God. Thank you that you take care of us. God, we're just so deserving of you. Father, I pray today that you ingrain this message in our lives, Father, that it becomes a lifestyle of God, that it starts in our thoughts, but Lord, it doesn't stop, that we become a people who surrenders quickly, a people who surrenders to your will, and people that surrenders to what you're doing, Father, and the thoughts that are in our minds. Father, I thank you for living waters, Lord, and the family that has been to Jess and I, Lord. I pray for perseverance and for joy, Lord, and that you keep working in us, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you, Lord. In your mighty name, amen.
Billy, that was good stuff. Straight from the heart of God. Sandy leaned over to me just a moment ago, and she said, I just had this picture come to me of a boxing ring. And if you've ever watched a boxing match on TV, there's always someone in the corner they go to between rounds, and they wipe your face off, and they kind of clean you up and give you some encouragement. And who's in your corner? Now, who's in your corner? There's somebody in your corner. His name is the living God, your heavenly Father, Jesus Christ. He's in your corner. One of the things that came to my mind as Billy was speaking, one of the lies that I constantly have to battle, and I I'm aggressive with it, is this lie: you're not enough. No matter how long you've stood up here as senior leader of this church, you're not enough. And in my own flesh, I'm not enough, but in Christ, I am who I am. I'm his son, I'm God's son, and I'm enough, the one he called here. And you have the different battles. Each of us have our own unique issues. And it strikes me that God created us in his image, and he created us with emotions. And the reason is because God himself has emotions. The difference between him and mankind is he's not overwhelmed by his emotions. And when we get overwhelmed, when we feel ourselves being overwhelmed with emotion, and sometimes there can be, like, we can be bombarded with spiritual reasons why we're believing some lie, you know? The enemy will say, well, hey, you know, if you were enough, you'd be doing, this would be happening. This would be the fruit. Whatever it is. But when we are overwhelmed with emotion, what we have to do is identify the lie we're believing in that moment. If you're overwhelmed with worry, okay, pause. I love it. Identify the thought, and then what's the lie you're believing that's creating this emotional struggle? As I was thinking through the worship that the team led us in this morning, And they didn't know what Billy was going to preach about at all, but the message, or the words were King above kings. We can surrender to a king. There was the words reckless love chasing me down. No matter where we're at, what we've done, his love is constantly after us. There was a line in one song, there's no lie you won't tear down coming after us. In the song New Wine, there was the words, I surrender, trust, yield. Then there's this last one in the song about love and mercy will follow us. There's a line in there that says, be still and know that the Lord is in control. And I want to qualify that for a moment, in this moment. He's in control. If the altar ministry teams would come, he's in control, but he's in control of everything but our heart. He's never taken that control and said, I want to control, excuse me, control you like a puppet. We're not puppets. We're not machines, human beings that have choice. Our heart is ours to give and surrender to him or not. And let's close our eyes for a moment. If there's any area of your heart you've been afraid or unwilling to surrender, this would be a good day to respond to that word on surrendering our thoughts and say, I'm not only going to surrender my thoughts that bring me to a place of overwhelming emotion, but I'm going to surrender my heart. And if this morning you want to just surrender your heart to Jesus Christ, would you just lift your hand? Just lift your hand. I surrender my heart to you, Jesus. I trust you. Thank you. Thank you. If you've surrendered your heart for the first time today, there's resources in the lobby I would encourage you to pick up. There's questions, the God questions. There's what on earth am I here for? There's resources there that are there specifically for you if you've surrendered your heart to Jesus to build you up and strengthen you in your walk. Father, thank you for his words today. Thank you for this message. Thank you for our brother bringing this to us. We praise you. We surrender in Jesus' name. Amen.